All right, well, let's call the meeting to order. The first item is to review and approve the minutes. Lisa, have you had an opportunity to see the minutes from the previous meeting?
I have not.
Ray?
They didn't come out.
Yeah. We haven't seen them till now. Do you have a position, Lisa, where you can see them on your computer at all? Can Justin call them up?
Yeah, there's an email. Yeah, there's an email with minutes.
Or you can open them up and share them so you can see them on the screen.
Okay.
If you go to the, just go to our drive.
How easy is it to get to the H drive on this computer?
You should be able to just minimize this for a second and then
type it in. Is it not mapped?
It's probably not mapped.
Yeah, I bet it's not gonna be easy to do so.
Does that go out to everybody as an email?
Yeah, everybody should have gotten them.
Because I haven't. I didn't get it.
You didn't get them either?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I didn't get it.
Okay.
When did you send that, Chris?
Oh.
I looked at mine and maybe I'll just forward it to everybody.
I don't even remember. It would have been when did we have that? February?
Yeah, February was the last meeting.
Yeah, it would have been.
Maybe from
March. Probably they went out.
Yeah, maybe from my phone I can see and forward it to everybody.
Well, while you work on that, could we go ahead and move on to the number two? Mm-hmm. Now that we have a quorum, we could at least review that. Mm-hmm. So, Lisa, do you see the agenda for today's meeting at all? Or have you seen it?
I have seen that. I'm not seeing the minutes for last meeting, though.
Okay. We're going to move on to item number two on the agenda, and that is to review prospective board members' applications and select those to recommend to the council. Of course, Justin's tied up trying to do this, so sorry, Justin, you're going to have
That's all right.
duty here.
That's okay.
Yeah.
So, we did receive two applications. It's the two current board members, so that makes that part fairly simple. Like we were saying, Bill, if you open a hearing, then we can proceed with that part.
Okay.
It's technically a hearing.
Okay. Let's suspend the regular meeting here and let's open a hearing on the board members. Okay.
Right. And that way we could have it be like open to the public. It's an official hearing, and we basically at this point can select from among the applicants to recommend to council for the council to get them nominated and all that. So
it's up to you guys.
So we will go ahead and open the meeting or the hearing. Okay. What do we need to do there, Justin?
Well, just like we've done in the past, we can select both of the applicants to recommend them to council.
Okay.
And you guys basically get reappointed.
Okay. So who do we have?
Oh, it's
Randy.
Randy and Lee. Yeah, Randy and Lee.
Randy and Lee. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, so then you just need to make a motion.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
I'll tell you what, if Lisa would make the motion to accept the recommendations of Randy and Lee for the position, I, as chairman, technically can't make a motion. But anyhow, Lisa, could you do that? Maybe Randy could second it?
Motion to accept Randy and Lee.
Okay.
Seconded.
Do we have any public discussion? Yeah. So we have the motion for to forward Randy and Lee to the council, their nominations. So all those in favor say aye.
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 Okay. So anybody opposed? Hearing none. Okay, the motion passes. All right.
Justin, if you want to X out of the people, I just shared it in the chat.
I see this, yeah.
Yeah, the meeting notes.
Great.
It's on the website. It's always, I always have updated it on the website.
Oh, okay.
It's a draft. Every time we get it done. And so that's where it's been.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Now we will close the public hearing and we'll resume the regular meeting. Thank you.
Sorry.
Okay, all thanks, right. Danielle. That's very helpful. As soon as I figure out how to share this screen, then...
I think they can just open it up from their... She can open it up from their...
Oh, yeah. Lisa, you could click on this.
I see it now.
Great, okay.
The only thing that I saw on this that is new to me, and maybe, Chris, you could help me out... on the minutes where it says 9:20 a.m., it looks like Randy was asking about Holly because Holly's not designated, but it looks like a... Oh, I get it. Okay. Nope. Never mind. Upon second reading, I see that it's actually the motion to adopt the weed list. So that's just the discussion. But yeah, we did unanimously adopt. Okay. Thanks. That cleared up that question.
Okay. I'll give everyone a couple minutes here to look at the minutes of the last meeting. Lisa, have you had an opportunity to go through the minutes of the last meeting?
Yes.
Okay, all right. Do we have a motion to approve?
I make a motion to approve the minutes of last meeting.
Okay.
Second.
Thank you, Lisa. Okay. Are there any additions or corrections to the minutes? Hearing none. Okay, we'll vote. All those in favor of approving the minutes as presented, signify by saying aye.
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 Anybody opposed? Thank you. All right, we will move on. Back to where we were, Justin, and you were status of field inspection program.
Mm-hmm. Great, yeah. So, as I was saying, this year looks pretty different based on staffing levels. For full-time employees, right now it's myself, and I'm fully trained. But we also have a second county employee, full-time person, John Wilson, and he has extensive experience with vegetation management as the department, working on the county lands. Control side of things, but he's new to the field inspection program, my side of things, as far as writing our reports, speaking to the public in an enforcement sort of a standpoint. He's new at that, so I'm training him, and so far he's been getting up to speed quickly. That's been going very well, but there will be ongoing training. I had pointed out that I still need to train him in the weed-free forage program. So right now I'm the only one who's trained for that, to do inspections. Additionally, we have the vacant field inspector position, that's the county employee. Hiring for that is ongoing. We've had some challenges with that process, getting somebody hired. And that said, once we do hire somebody for that, then I'll be, you know, spending a good chunk of this year bringing that person up to speed, essentially from scratch. And in addition to that, we will be continuing our process to try to hire temporary staff to get us some help in the field. And yeah, that's ongoing and also has had some challenges to get temporary staff. So there's going to be a lot of hiring and training this year, which puts us behind relative to other years. And I'd like to get our staff fully trained on the weed-free forage program so we can get back to the level of service that we were providing before. But it's going to take some time. There's a lot of training to do. Secondly, the field inspection right now is somewhat hampered by the amount of time that we're spending doing control work, specifically on garlic mustard. I notice a big difference between the amount of reports that we are able to produce, say, last year, with more people, more eyes on more property and garlic mustard, versus this year, where since it's just me and John, who's getting up to speed, we're doing the control work for garlic mustard in the city of Camas, where they have quite a lot. And they're reimbursing us for it, but that's taking up a fair bit of our time. And if we don't get the good weather that we need to spend the time spraying, I'm worried that with too few people and not enough good spray days, we could end up pulling a significant portion of the garlic mustard for City of Camas, which, as you might imagine, it's quite time-consuming, not the best scenario. And that's a Class A weed. It has to get eradicated. But that being said, I'm used to this program doing a lot more inspections of lands, private property, than we are right now. So, I'm feeling that pinch, and I'd really like to get more people aboard. So, yeah, once we get the garlic mustard control work done, then we can go back to putting our full force behind the inspections that need to get done for garlic mustard, not only in the city of Camas, but around the Salmon Creek area and the satellite patches. There are now more than a few satellite infestations, remote places throughout the county. So, yeah, garlic mustard is a challenge right now.
Justin, your individuals you're bringing on, the temporary staff you're talking about bringing on, how much time are you needing to spend to get them up to speed? What do you know, training wise, what do you think it takes you to get them up to speed? Does it take a week of training, or does it take you know?
Yeah, I would liken it more to on the job training.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not an academic setting so much. To be sure, there is some utilization of downtime where we're already back at the office trying to correspond with landowners, and the temporary person takes that time in an academic way to study for their herbicide license.
Mm-hmm.
So as far as that goes, yes, that training can be a week or two. Usually we leave that up to the temporary. It's whatever they're comfortable with. We want them to pass their test the first time they take that applicator's test. But it's not the whole day.
Sure.
Most of the training is on the job, and to quantify how that would impact the workload getting done, there's give and a take there. So obviously you're taking more time to explain things as you're doing them, but also you have that second set of feet that's walking right along next to you, spraying, you know, twice as much as you're spraying and being able to see things. But you can't count that as, you know, 200% the workforce right from there. There's a lot of double checking, and okay, you sprayed this and we need you to spray this, you missed these ones, and so you're backtracking more. And so, yeah, to put that into, you know, hours spent would be difficult because you get an immediate benefit as soon as somebody's hired. But it slows the process in other ways. So yeah, training takes some time, and it seems like we're pretty much always training temporary staff. You know, there's enough turnover usually that we're always doing that.
And it's a field inspection. Anyhow,
yeah.
You realize that you're going to lose them at the end of the year.
Exactly.
Whatever.
Yeah. It's the field inspector position that I really feel like is going to be a larger impact. Mm-hmm. To train somebody to do the reports, I go out in the field with them and I explain what we're seeing and how to write this report and how to contact this landowner. And there's a lot of, it's still on the job training, but then I'm pulled away from the things that I'm usually doing.
Yeah.
Versus the both of us taking two different trucks and going to two different ends of the county. That's very significant.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How many temporary are you looking to put on?
At least one. I would prefer to have another one for later in the season because we have disparate tasks that need to be completed. And to complete the knotweed grant, I feel much better having a team and not having somebody do that solo. Mm. And when I've got something else to do, I want to be able to send a team for safety purposes. So
okay.
at the late season, I'd like to have two. Early on, then we can certainly make use of one. And for garlic mustard control, I'm borrowing from the other side of vegetation management too. And I'll make good use of them to get the control work done. Yeah.
Okay.
And we do that. There's quite a bit of borrowing and, you know, lending out services back and forth. There's all hands on deck sort of projects that we do. So yeah, training will be pretty important and take up some time. Yeah, especially for the field inspector.
The garlic mustard that's in you're talking about, City of Camas.
Mm-hmm.
How do they work out? How much they pay the paying the county,
mm-hmm.
and I assume, you know, everything I've always understood with the county, the money goes into the general fund rather than going into vegetation management. So
yeah.
I guess the question I have is doing that, do we in essence lose the time and money that's spent, and the money that City of Camas pays goes into to the general fund, and we're not getting reimbursed for it?
Yeah, since our budget comes from the general fund, in that sense, it's kind of a wash because we're paid for it from the general fund. But the way I look at it is the man hours that I'm losing right now to do what's essentially their work. It is. You know, they're the landowner. They need to be responsible for it. There's a contract that we put together. And we account for our labor and our equipment, our herbicide, all that stuff, which is pretty, I would say it's pretty representative of what we have. And we bill them directly our hours. So the contract is, you know, our best good faith estimate of what it's going to be. My concern is similar to yours, I think, where they're a landowner like any other, and we need detail-oriented work to get done on garlic mustard. But my philosophy has always been our program is education-oriented, to educate the landowner to then take responsibility and get the control work done themselves. And at this point, how much is Camas as a city being educated when I just make it disappear? Mm-hmm. I would submit they're not, and their own workers need to be educated.
Are they doing any of the control work at all?
No, they're not. They were supplying some attenuator trucks in years past on 6th Avenue, where it's very busy and quite the danger level is a lot higher. To be frank, I found that was actually slowing the work down when we did not utilize the bucket truck. So they did also provide a bucket truck in years past. Since I've moved away from using a bucket truck on 6th Ave, and instead we just kind of play mountain goat and go up as much as we're comfortable going up that steep slope and using backpacks only, it's much, much faster to do backpacks only there. Mm. And I feel confident with the quality that we're getting done using backpacks. My philosophy has been, yes, we're doing a good job, and I'd rather be in and out and have less exposure time to the flow of traffic than to have the attenuator truck. So I didn't utilize Camas's attenuator truck this year. We had our normal road signs and our normal strobe lights and flashing truck and made sure that we were safe. So they're not really doing anything at this point aside from paying us. And I would also share that I'm unsatisfied with doing that. When I was doing it this year, I was asking myself, how long do I want to be doing this for? You know, mm-hmm. This isn't sustainable from a long-term perspective. It's not the thrust of the law. It's not the thrust of our department. So, yeah, it's at best a stopgap measure to make sure they comply with the law instead of getting fines. But I'm much happier with the way City of Vancouver, for instance, has their own crews, is used to doing spraying, and then we redirect them. We send them our lists, as we do for washed out everybody else, and they redirect. City of Vancouver had their own issues, such as not following specific directions of, you know, what is control work versus, you know, what does not work. And, you know, when I speak to the crew chief, I say, here's what has to happen. You need to pull and bag this milk thistle so the seeds don't get dispersed. The guy on the ground who's doing the work ended up just mowing it and broadcasting the milk thistle seeds all along. So that was not good, but I'm much happier with the progress that's made there. Yeah, so long term, I want to move away from us doing that contract with City of Camas. I'd like very much for them to decide that even if it costs more to pay their prevailing wages of their city workers, that they adopt that as their goal, and we transition that over. There's a new contact person for City of Camas, and that can be inroads. I frankly had trouble with the last person who I worked with at City of Camas to decide that it needed done. I just, you know, told me to my face that we don't have budget for that. Maybe I'll have to pull it out of the stormwater budget, or I'll have to make up some excuse to get the weed control done. And I thought, well, I can't accept that answer from private landowners or, you know, state right-of-way. I can't accept that answer from anybody. So, the new person hasn't said anything along those lines. So
on the City of Camas, is it largely just that 6th Avenue area you're talking about, or is there it spread beyond that?
Unfortunately, it's extensive. Yeah, so in City of Camas, there are dozens of private properties that have garlic mustard, and there are tens of river miles
Oh, really?
Along, yeah, along the Washougal, there's quite a lot of garlic mustard.
Hmm.
And the city of Washougal is actually a great example of what I want from a city that has large garlic mustard. Mm-hmm. They've been very, very good to work with. Their city workers go out. Now, granted, they have less that the city needs to take care of there, but they're very responsive, and they put forth a good faith effort, and they revisit sites, which is very important for garlic mustard. It's incompatible with the plant to just spray once and expect that all the garlic mustard is going to be gone. You definitely need to follow up with that plant.
So next time we go before the, or you go before the county council for budget, is there a way to kind of impress upon them that you know, this contract with Camas, or I don't know if it's a contract even, but you know, rather this deal with Camas just really messes up the whole budget, because if you put in $100,000 for whatever, and 20 of it goes out to do city of Camas, and you never get the money back.
Yeah, and that's the direction that it's going, because we're doing the best that we can.
Sure.
But we keep finding more garlic mustard. And I'm in an unenviable position of being a hypocrite if I don't get all that garlic mustard controlled, because that's the law. So I will keep, you know, charging more for whatever the time costs. And at what point, you know, can we divorce ourselves from this current setup? You know, it's going to be increasingly difficult, I would feel like, to get them to say, oh, it's getting worse. Well, now let's take on a problem that's getting worse. Yeah, I would definitely make that case. And among others, it's another good point for supporting an assessment. Yeah, I would say that's definitely another good point. Among many, there are lots.
Yeah. Okay.
To support an assessment.
Okay.
Yeah.
Have you tried to find volunteering groups to help remove it?
Yes. Yes. In fact, on Earth Day, for many years, I think it was at least 6 years that we did an Earth Day event. Yeah, longer than that. And it was mostly, I would say, good for awareness and mostly good for education opportunity. There was some thought of, you know, is the public then going to do a diligent job of brushing their boots after they get through tromping through all the garlic mustard patch, or, you know, could we be spreading this? Hopefully not. Hopefully they're all doing a good job of brushing their boots off when they help out with the garlic mustard pull. It was an annual event, and volunteers helped out a lot. We have since discontinued that, not only with COVID, but even before COVID, we had shifted away from Salmon Creek, where we were doing the garlic mustard pull. One year we did it in a much smaller scale along the Washougal Camas Greenway, and there was a lot less turnout, but the main issue, the main reason why we stopped doing it, is because the patch itself was severely diminished, which is great. You know, that's what
we
want.
That's what you're hitting.
But instead of it being, you know, 80% ground cover in this giant section, you can just say, look, there it is, you know, go pull it. It was a lot more hunt and peck, you know, sort of a thing, where we need to be very detail-oriented, and it's hard to get a whole crowd of volunteers looking for this one thing that's hidden. You know, maybe half of them show up and they don't have anything to do. So,
I've helped with the Salmon Creek ones before, but I haven't. They're my favorite invasive plant to pull, because they're these pretty flowers and they're really easy to pull. And I just haven't been seeing the volunteer the volunteering before. And I was wondering if that was something that could be helpful for Camas, because, like you said, it's really good for the education part. You get more people going, oh my gosh, this really pretty flower is actually terrible. And look, there it is in my property, and I can just pull out the three plants instead of, you know, it taking over my yard. Did you like, I wouldn't mind reaching out to Canvas. I haven't done any volunteering with them before, but like getting a volunteering effort for the areas that are more like not so hunt and peck.
Mm-hmm.
Would you like me to reach out to them to see if there's something that can be done with that?
Yeah, that'd be great. That'd be very helpful. Okay. We had done it, I think the last time was 2019 that we did it in City of Camas, but it might have been 2018.
It was 2018.
2018, yeah, because Casey was here. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so Casey organized it through the high school, I think.
It was poorly attended.
Yes, it was poorly attended. He reached out to the high school and threw it out as an opportunity for senior class project. Credit and coordinated it that way, but it was very poorly attended. We do have some areas that I can think of in the Camas Greenway along the Washougal River that would be similar, where there's a big bank of it and you can send out volunteers and it would be helpful. And especially, I would just echo again, especially as outreach. Education opportunity, especially in Camas, where there are so many private landowners that have it. And a couple weeks ago, when we went out in Camas, and I pointed it out for the first time to a new landowner where I just discovered it and started explaining, I said, there's a lot of it in Camas, and she's, oh yeah, I know what it is already. Before it was on her property, she had already heard about it, so... There is some word of mouth. I think that everybody on that cul-de-sac had spread the word around because there were several properties along that cul-de-sac that had already had it. So, just furthering that along and getting more eyes trained to detect it is very, very worthwhile. So, yeah, I would appreciate that, Lisa. That would be very helpful. And
okay.
Yeah, see if we can get something happening.
Just real quickly, Danielle. I believe City of Camas now has a volunteer coordinator, but back then they did not.
Okay.
And we used to have our own volunteer coordinator, which we don't have a volunteer coordinator anymore. And then our team would do it as well. So City of Camas, if you go through their volunteer coordinator, that might be something you can do.
Mm-hmm.
But at the time, they didn't have that.
Okay.
So that might be something that, you know, Lisa or yourself can look into if you wanted to push something.
Mm-hmm.
It does take a lot of staff time, I will say, to set something up and organize porta potties and trash and that kind of thing. So
mm-hmm.
It would be probably to your advantage to go through a volunteer coordinator that might have those connections.
Yes.
Just speaking from personal experience.
Yes. And the other thing that might be a hindrance to us is the logistics between where there's enough parking for volunteers to show up and park their cars, and then getting them to, I remember for the 1 year, 2018, where we did it with Casey, it was a walk to get them back to the actual site. And sometimes it's underwater, so, you know, there's that. But, yeah, there are some challenges, and it's a definite investment of a lot of staff time, to be sure. All right. If there's no other input on garlic mustard, I'll just continue to a quick update on our grants, where those are at. Just to make sure that everybody is up to speed or refreshed, Clark County had its first infestation of variable leaf milfoil in Warren Seeley Reservoir, which is right next to Farger Lake.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, and that was discovered pretty recently, a couple years ago, by that private landowner who wanted us to come out and help them with aquatic identification of weeds as part of their restocking plan, because they were going to restock it with triploid grass carp, and Department of Fish and Wildlife of Washington said, nope, you need a plan first. And so that's why we were called out, which was great because we identified it and confirmed it with a DNA test, that it is in fact our first infestation of variable leaf milfoil. Since then, we've been encouraged by the Washington Department of Ecology to get a grant to help that landowner, since the infestation is extensive and it poses a pretty significant risk to the East Fork of the Lewis River, since it makes seeds, and those seeds could just go right down from Rock Creek emptying into the East Fork. And so we have applied and have had our application accepted by Department of Ecology. However, Department of Ecology across the board is extremely short-staffed and hasn't actually put an agreement in front of us, such that there's nothing for us to put in front of council, and it's stalled out at that point currently. So this year looks very unlikely that we'll be able to have the grant do work for that landowner. The landowner will be on the hook themselves to do as much as they possibly can to eradicate a Class A weed.
There's more than one landowner, isn't there?
No, it's actually just one for Warren Seeley.
Because there's a landowner on the back side that owns some of that too.
The east side? What's the back side?
I would think it'd be the north.
No, so the Joneses own all the way up to the road.
They fenced everything off.
Have they?
No.
I don't. I haven't
right
seen
next
a
to the
fence.
Ski lake. Do you know where the water ski lake is?
We're talking about the Fargo Lake Pond.
No, Warren Seeley Reservoir
no.
is
it's a different
upstream
one.
From there.
It's right next to the ski lake. You know how you'll see the
okay.
one on 503?
Okay.
They're the one to the east of that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just next to it.
It's
over
there. Joneses.
Gene and Jane Jones, yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And they do
own. He's on the forest board.
What is Fargo Lake has something growing out there.
The blueberries?
The pond.
Oh,
at
not
the four
no,
historic
old pond.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. What is that? Is that the milfoil?
Well, I've been out and surveyed last year, and I have not found variable leaf milfoil in any of the water bodies downstream. Yeah. That being said, we definitely need more of a comprehensive survey to actually get everywhere. The weeds that I saw in the pond that's southwest of the blueberries, the old lake bed, those were not noxious weeds of any sort of like variable leaf milfoil. It was not that. They had some other stuff. They had yellow flag iris, and they had some usual things that unfortunately we see in ponds and lakes. But no, it wasn't variable leaf milfoil. So yeah, that grant is stalled out. Probably no significant action in the growing season this year. The landowner pulls it up by themselves. They have kind of a rake on a rope that they've been using, and then they pile up the vegetation far enough up on the banks that can dry out and hopefully not just wash down. But as you might imagine, that's labor intensive and also probably incomplete.
Sure.
And so anytime you
How big is this
use a mechanical I think it was just under 10 acres.
Hmm.
I think that's what I was.
A rake wouldn't be very effective. Yeah.
Yeah.
Very time consuming. Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. And, they do what they can, but they definitely would benefit from systemic treatment. And, the problem with the rake, of course, is going to be that you pull on it and it breaks the plants, and you've got little fragments of leaves that can go right on to make whole new infestation. So it's not ideal. So that's what I had for a variable leaf milfoil. Probably get done next year, and barring any other unforeseen issues. The early infestation grant is a 2-year grant. So if we were to have it get before council and it gets approved sometime in late summer or fall or whatever the case may be, then we do have 2 years to get the money spent, get the landowner the most help that we can from that early infestation grant. Okay. Knotweed grant is active now, and in a little while I will be sending out the letters along Gibbons Creek, which is where we're targeting this time around, because it's never been targeted before for some reason, and we know for a fact that it does have knotweed at several areas in the lower section of Gibbons Creek. So in line with what WSDA has been doing to find the farthest upstream infestations of knotweed and then work downstream, we're going to make sure that we know where is the highest upstream on Gibbons Creek on that system. That's the first step, really, is to get enough survey efforts done and treatment if we can. Hopefully that goes well. There's not much else to say on that other than the first time we target a new watershed is always, or has historically been, pretty low rate of return of the waivers, pretty low interest until the word of mouth seems to grow and successful treatments on your neighbor's property tell you that, oh yeah, these people are good and they'll help you with this, and it's a bad problem, so it needs to be addressed. Yeah, it seems like that takes some time to build up, and so that's one consideration for that. And then finally, the third grant where the state has approached us, and because of the concern with spotted lanternfly and the damage that that could potentially do to the tune of maybe millions of dollars to Washington's stone fruit growing agriculture, which would include peaches, pears, apples, grapes, hops even. There's quite a large threat from spotted lanternfly if it were to be introduced to the state of Washington. So in advance of that threat, the state has efforts right now to survey for the preferred host, which is Tree of Heaven. If spotted lanternfly were to start multiplying in Washington, it's probably going to use Tree of Heaven for its host. And then on the periphery of that, sometimes it would then go on to attack all those crops that I just mentioned. Whereas before, Tree of Heaven was frustrating for landowners and a Class C noxious weed that's very widespread and it's here to stay, and that's unfortunate. Now there's a renewed focus on Tree of Heaven, and it's gone quite higher on the priorities for Washington State. State reached out to us specifically as part of a targeted zone because we have rail lines, lots of activity from camping and recreating where people might travel from back east, where there's quite a big spotted lanternfly infestation right now, Pennsylvania. And because Clark County has a railroad, and that it was among the short list of counties that they want to fund survey and probably later on control efforts for Tree of Heaven. to make us less hospitable for the spotted lantern fly, their preferred host. So we did accept that proposition from the state of Washington. It's important for us to maintain strong ties and strong partnership. I accepted that. I imagine that the surveys for Tree of Heaven are going to go pretty quick. It's a tree, and I already know where a lot of them are, and it's not going to be any sort of in-depth, difficult survey. It can be pretty quick and easy. There's a tree, click, you know, move on, and click, there's another one. We'll take down the GPS points for sure. And they want us to produce a short list of maybe 2 to 3 likely infestation zones where you have Tree of Heaven right alongside the railroad. Maybe in like a holding yard or a transfer yard where they have train cars parked for some time. And there's Tree of Heaven right next to that. So that's a likely introduction zone. Maybe a campground where people park their RVs. And there's Tree of Heaven right next to the, you know, the RV parking. That sort of thing. So I anticipate that's going to go pretty quick. We're not, at this point, targeting control efforts. I feel that it's premature. But I have no problem doing a quick survey and getting them the information. I would imagine, as time goes on, they will find money to also have grant funding for control work, and they'll probably make it pretty easy to get that control work done. And the railroad is already in favor of getting rid of any sort of vegetation that's within their right of way that's, you know, invasive. If you're partnering with them on that, they're all about it. So
that's so easy. I have no idea what this Tree of Heaven looks like. Right? Is it a what would you say, a desirable, you know, somebody wants to plant it in their yard, or is it just an invasive plant that just shows up?
Yeah, so it was introduced as an ornamental, and
that's
so
the word I was looking for.
Yeah, and so it has maybe some desirable qualities to somebody. There's what it looks like in general. It's been compared to black walnut as far as the leaves go, and it has no problem growing here. as many weed species go, it has no problem. It's quite hardy. Usually they'll say, is it hardy? Does it survive around here? Can it? Yeah, oh, definitely. Seems that it spreads by seeds and by its roots. I've seen some areas where, yeah, it's definitely spreading by its seeds to some degree. The roots are incredibly hardy.
Okay.
So it spreads underground by its roots. And
I've seen it. I don't know where I've seen it now, yeah. But I've seen that.
There's a lot. There's a lot in the Vancouver area. I'm finding a lot in Camas now that I'm kind of keeping an eye out for it more. Before it was kind of a footnote, and now it's very high priority, so I'm kind of keeping an eye out for it. And, there's a lot. There's a lot of it around. Anytime a big mature Tree of Heaven dies, for any reason, the roots regenerate, and you find suckers coming up. All over the entire root zone, so it's frequently a bother to somebody's yard where they're trying to mow, and they have woody suckers coming up and wrecking their lawnmower. But so we'll be completing that survey, and we can work that in pretty easily. It's a good wet weather activity to do as well. If we can't spray somewhere, it's another one of those, okay, you know, we can log some more time for this survey. And like I say, since it's a tree, we can be pretty innovative in our approaches. One of the things I might bring to your attention that I've taken to doing that I feel like is really cost effective is that I will use the computer, pull up Google Street View, And they've already taken pictures all along the road of all sorts of roadside stuff. And I can aim the camera of Google Street View over in a likely zone, and there's a big old tree, and it's got these black walnut leaves, and so I can do something of a filter, or making myself a short list of things that I can investigate, and it saves a lot of time. To the point now where if I get a call from a landowner and they say, I've got this giant tree and I think it might be Tree of Heaven, I can pull up their Google Street View, aim it at it, and see a big old maple leaf and say, no ma'am, that's a big leaf maple and it's not Tree of Heaven. So that's just one of the ways that technology can help.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, that's Tree of Heaven. It's going to be short this time around. It's a very short grant, not much money, and it expires end of June. So
they should get you a short chainsaw to take it off with?
Well,
yeah.
Yeah. I don't think control work for this short little spot. No. No. We would be
I'm just envisioning you going in, into these guys' yard and well, hey, this is an invasive species and yeah. Okay.
No. The work would never end if you tried to control. If I tried to control Tree of Heaven, there's just so much in Vancouver. It's pretty nuts. And so I alluded to before weed free forage inspections. I'm the only person right now with that certification and know-how. John is very capable. I'll bring him up to speed. Quick as I can, but because of this staffing bottleneck, I'm anticipating a very different year for weed-free forage as well. And with all the other stuff we've already talked about, I don't imagine that weed-free forage is going to get the love and attention that it really should compared to other years. It's probably going to be the case that I can devote 10 hours a week, and I can have a target of, here you go, here's my chunk of time. But that doesn't mesh well with growing schedules and when things need to be cut and, how that works out. So to do it justice, we need to have enough people. We need to have the staff that can get out there and put more than 10 hours a week into the program. I was a bit unsatisfied with the way last year went, where the state had an inspector that could go out, but then didn't enter their own reports and leaned on me to enter the electronic reports, because that's a lot of phone tag back and forth and explaining what were the site conditions, and you didn't say this in your email, and so there's a lot that goes into it. So I don't anticipate that we'll be able to do as much as we were doing, pre-COVID, but I don't want to have the state inspector play as large a role as they were last year when we just said, I can't do this. Me not doing it was more work in the end. I think that probably I'll just let everybody know when they call. Yes, I'll put you on the list. I'll get to you as quick as I can. But, the way that we are right now with the staff, it's not good. So,
how many cooperators do we have, do you think, with weed-free forage?
I think that we typically have about 11 or so. And it has been less in general. It seems like there are less... one less or so every year, but then another person comes on board and it seems to even out a little bit. We had a drop off a couple of years back that was precipitous, but since then it's not that bad. Mm-hmm. So it's around 10. It's around 10 or 11.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And not as many acres as it has been, but there's still some demand. Yeah, still some demand for it.
Okay.
And currently, just as an aside, currently we've moved our twine to 88th Street. So that's another thing that we'll just be letting people know, is that, It won't be that you come in here and go out there. We'll go with you to 88th Street when you need to pick up your twine. So,
okay.
Yeah, if anybody asks, that's how the deal has to work now. Because storage space and logistically, that's gonna work a lot better for our department back here. So. Mm-hmm. I don't anticipate that'll be a big issue. I think that'll be fine, but I just put it out there because I'd like to keep everybody as informed as I can, be, you know, fair and transparent and say, sorry if I don't get to you, or I'm sorry if, you know, it's a burden unnecessarily, but I'm kind of between a rock and a hard place at this point. So...
One of the things that Biden wanted to include in the huge spending package is it's the America the Beautiful Challenge. Are there any grants from that we would be able to use to get more people and more resources?
Yeah, and I had heard specifically of a few federal grants that the Four County CWMA actually was interested in, and since they have quite a bit of grant funding that goes into their makeup. That's a good question, and I will follow up on that. It's a little bit murky, right, as far as us being able to seek out grants ourselves. I think the county has a hierarchy structure sort of thing and a grant writer sort of person that technically should be the one to seek grants.
It depends on the program.
Okay.
But we could seek our own grants. We would need council approval to do so, to apply for a grant. I'm not familiar with the America the Beautiful challenge, but we can look into it.
Mm-hmm.
And... you know, the other thing I would say is it's not so much a lack of funding that is our problem right now. It's a lack of willing people to come and do real work. Yeah. So we're having a really difficult time. Just
you're meaning staff.
Hiring people. Yes, absolutely. That's.
Yep.
I mean, normally at this time of year, we would have 8 to 10 temporary employees. We have 3.
Yep.
We have offered positions to at least double that amount and then turn down.
I don't know what you wanted to say about that, but yeah, it's been. That's what I mean when I say it's been a challenge.
It's not anything I've ever experienced in the last 15 years of working for the government. It's just a really strange year, so.
Yeah.
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 So I don't know when that'll get better. It might get better. We were kind of thinking maybe it'll get better as. The college semester is over. Maybe we'll get more people that have more time, and maybe they'll want to apply. We'll see. Yeah, I don't know.
I've heard other claims that, no, it won't get any better until we get rid of Biden. I don't know. We had problems with this before Biden came along, so I don't know.
I have no idea.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
It's just a challenge right now.
Well, you know, you're not alone. I mean, every one of us as business owners is my gosh, and what we do have to draw from are just amazing. That you know, you're kidding. You know, you want a job, and but you're not willing to do this or do anything to, yeah. So okay.
Yeah, we've raised our pay rates, but it's still you look around the businesses, everyone has. We're hiring up in their window, and you know. Taco Bell's hiring at $17 an hour.
Yep.
Papa Murphy's $17 to $20 an hour.
Yep.
Yeah.
So it's just, it's hard. It's really competitive right now. Good time to look for a job if you want one. But
well, there's all these guys on the street corner that are still looking for a job.
They're making good money.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Okay, Justin. Anything else?
I guess I would just put in the plug, the shameless plug again, that if you ever have opportunity or you make an opportunity to advocate for the assessment, whenever you see anybody who has the proper connections and the proper oomph, we can use all the help we can get to get that in front of eyes that can make decisions on it.
You mentioned the assessment.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the Conservation District came up with an assessment trying to get... I went to the hearing.
Yes.
And, I mean, there was one after another. There was 80-some people that lined up to speak, and the council still turned it down.
Yes.
This sounds like the same thing.
Yeah.
I guess frustration to me. It's just plain frustration that are we getting listened to or not? Or are the citizens getting listened to? Yeah. Yeah. So, okay.
And maybe as things change, it's something that we can continue to bring up and continue to try, because I've heard it said a lot from everybody around me that all you can do is try, you know, all you can do is ask and, you know, continue asking, and I would be happy with continuing to put it in front of the eyes that can make the decision, you know, that's all we can do. And yes, there are a lot of good places for money to go, and we'll be competing with lots of other, you know, great places for money to go. And yet, lots of the counties around us, lots of the counties throughout Washington have these assessments, and they put them to very good use, and they have all kinds of things that I can drool at and wish that I could have too, but... King County, for instance, has a reserve of trash bags that have noxious weeds, must go to landfill or something like that, on these bags, and they're clear. So they have words on them that are printed in bright orange, and they're clear, so you can see that, yes, in fact, there's, you know, some sort of plant in there, I don't know, but it says it's noxious weeds. And they give these bags to people who have garlic mustard as another incentive of, like, here you go, you have it, and it needs to be pulled. Here are the bags. And so I drool. And, you know, I have to make do with what I've got, and I get innovative, and I try to, you know, figure out ways that I can motivate the landowner. But frequently, when I tell a landowner this is a plant that Washington State cares a lot about getting rid of, it's the highest priority, garlic mustard is level A, it's this the top, frequently the answer that I get is, then Washington State should do something about it. Washington State should be the one to go and kill that weed. And I say, well, I'd love it if we had, you know, the money coming in that way, but the funding isn't there. And if we ever do have people that get offered the job and decide, yeah, I want that job, it would be great to have more of those people get hired and maybe stick around because the wages are, you know, competitive with Taco Bell. I don't know. Yeah, that'd be nice. One can always dream, and at the point where you're dreaming, also keep talking about it. Keep bringing it up and keep putting it in front of the people who can make the decisions and advocate for it at the least. Because I'm assuming that's how everybody else got their funding. They kept asking, kept at it. So that's all I would add.
Okay, well, I guess we're ready to move on to item number 4, items from the board. I had one, Justin, we have had in years past the signs, you know, for Tansy. I think was it just specifically Tansy, or, yeah.
Yeah, it was targeted for Tansy, and there have been a couple signs, but I think you're referring to the ones that say "Control Tansy Ragwort."
Yeah,
right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yep.
Are we going to be able to? You think? I hate to even open my mouth now after you talking about staffing. you know, the way it is and everything, but I'm going, do you think there's going to be a chance we can get those out for all this year?
Yeah, we have them in reserve, and the deployment of a sign doesn't take a long time. If you're already on Munch Road and you're looking at what weeds are on the private property and on the right-of-way, then, yeah, we can get those out, and we can certainly have it be timely. The only issue that I remember having, and it's been a while, admittedly, so I'm trying to recall. The only issue that I actually remember is that when they get defaced, missing, or for any reason are gone, then getting them back out in a similar location, maybe not exact same spot for fear that
same thing happens.
Somebody's collecting them. That takes some time, and there's probably a good, you know, lag time. But if you see one that was there and is missing, then let me know, because that's maybe something we didn't see as quick as somebody else sees.
Do we have them already done up? And I kind of was wondering, do we have a budget for them, or do we?
Yeah, we already have
stock of them
reserve. Yep.
Yeah. Okay.
Yep. We still have reserve, and I'll check on them. It's been a while since I looked at them. I think that the most we may need to do for them is to block out the bottom section with tape. That takes just a few minutes for somebody to sit there and put, you know, white duct tape is what we were doing, because we gave people the cutoff time and said, control tansy ragwort by July 1st.
Right, I remember now. Yep.
And that seemed to be more trouble than it was worth, because it seemed to set up an expectation that the plants were going to do the exact same thing every single year, and we were going to be able to say, by July 1st, they're all flowering, and so you see them all, and you get rid of them, and then that's sufficient. Whereas, in reality, I think we found that some years they're later, some years they're earlier, and if it's gone to seed by July 1st, then I've just given you the expectation that you can, you know,
wait until
that time, and only after that time will I start to jump on your case and talk to you about how you could be fined. Well, no, your sign said, and it's like, no. It's based on the plant, not on the calendar. So that was the issue there. That'll take only a little bit of time, and we'll make sure that they all are standardized before we put them out. It was a nice thought, though. It was a nice idea.
Okay. Randy or Lisa, do you have anything to add from the board or questions?
Nothing for me.
Nothing here.
Okay. Gentlemen, we have a spot here for public comment, don't we? We're looking for the public, okay?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, okay. All right. So
can we jump in here? Can I take some time just to hop in?
Mm-hmm.
Just as general public?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'll be a general public.
Yeah, go ahead.
So I took a new position. I'm no longer doing the land side of things. I'm going to be helping out with the Legacy Lands Conservation Lands Program and the County Railroad. And so my predecessor, interim, is Mr. Dan and Daniel Ebert. So he's going to be taking the reins. He's been taking the reins for a couple weeks now. So I just want to say I'm still here, but I won't probably be attending these meetings anymore.
Who was it? Pat Lee?
Mm-hmm. I replaced Pat.
Okay, yep. So you're replacing Pat. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I know he up and left.
He retired.
Yeah, okay.
Yep.
All right.
Yep.
Okay, so you are taking his position then. It's not just a... Okay.
It's changed since he's had it.
Okay.
And so he used to manage the Heritage Farm, and I won't be doing that. I'll be doing the railroad instead at some point when Kevin wants to get.
But there's a lot more legacy lands than just that, isn't there?
There's 5,000 acres of conservation lands that we own and manage, and so vegetation management sprays on those properties and does restoration projects on those properties. And then there's the other side of it where we're doing more acquisitions and more protections and those kinds of things, and working with other agencies to do the same type of thing in their areas. So City of Camas, City of Vancouver, Ridgefield, all those agencies can have that same opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Okay.
And I'll be in the parks building next door to veg. So.
Mm-hmm. Well, good luck to you.
Yeah.
Yeah, best of luck, yeah. Okay. And I guess Kevin isn't going anywhere. Yeah.
Staying here.
Okay, all right. All right. Well, Daniel, we'll be looking forward to you on board, kind of, or are you going to be attending the meetings?
I believe so, yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
all right.
If the scheduling works out, it's all information that's good for me to know.
Okay.
And it's always good for me to be around people who are as well-versed in the material as you, all of you seem to be, so
okay.
I'm going to try and absorb as much of it as possible.
All right.
And I always appreciate having the other side of the house aboard during these meetings, because just like today, Danielle, super helpful. Thank you, thank you very much for helping out with that early little hiccup in the beginning of the meeting, and constantly with the details of your side and how we kind of work together and what we're all seeing out in the county. So it's always helpful, as much as you can. Thank you.
Okay. All right. Anything else? Do we call an adjournment to the meeting? Okay. So I will adjourn the meeting. 10:30, it looks like.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Thank you. Thank you, Lisa. Yep.
Thanks.
You bet, Randy. Thank you for being here.